Just missed. All right. Good evening, everyone. Pesach. I apologize. I did not post a schedule yet. I hope to get to it tomorrow. So first off, let me remind everyone there's no class tomorrow. Let me tell you what we do tomorrow night at this time. Well, actually, it's just a little bit after this time. Sunset. Jesus, I could have a class if I really wanted. Is at 8 o'clock. Starting at 8:30. I will be busy with, I mean, obviously from beforehand, I'll be busy preparing for Pesach, cleaning. But tomorrow night at around 8:30, I will be beginning a process known as Bedikat Chametz. So first, what is traditional? I'm going to talk a little bit about Pesach and its customs, and then I'll get into my message. Bedikat chametz means searching for the chametz. Yes, we clean. And the women should not be offended by the fact that the husbands are now going to come along after the wives have done everything. The women have done everything in the house and cleaned everything spotlessly. Here comes a guy, says, here's my little candle. I'll be done in an hour. The women have been sweating over like for weeks. And the guy comes around and says, here's my candle or here's my flashlight. And make a blessing, and I'll be done in an hour, or in my case, three. I have to do my mother's house also. So so let me explain. Pesach is a very intriguing holiday. Yes, it's. Let's start on the simple level, and we will build Mitzvah Shem. Really should have stood for this. Pesach commemorates the Jewish people who were enslaved. Us, we were enslaved in Egypt for 210 years, and Hashem said, enough is enough. And we left. We've discussed this. And Hashem took us out in the most of miraculous ways. But when Hashem does something, Hashem just doesn't do something. You know, when I do something, I do something. I'll call you later. I made a phone call. We'll schmooze a little bit. You know, let's go for coffee. We went for coffee. When I do something, I do something. When Hashem does something, Melech Malchei HaMelachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God of the universe, when Hashem does something, Hashem does something. Hashem just doesn't take the Jewish people out. He takes them out. I mean, as we say, al kanfei nesharim, like on the wings of an eagle. Hashem, when Hashem says, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to become accomplished, the Jewish people will leave Egypt. Sure, we could have just transplanted. Hashem could have made a disease, killed everyone. Oh, the last plague, number 10, Hashem passed over the house of the Jewish people. He didn't just kill the firstborn. You should know. You don't want to know what really happened? I'm just joking. You don't want to really? Oh, Hashem killed everyone. And the Jewish people, yeah, they were singing. And they walked right out. Hashem didn't do that. Hashem could have done that at the very beginning. And the Jewish people would have marched right on out of Egypt. And would have been very, very easy. That's not what Hashem did. When Hashem does something, Hashem does something. It's noticeable. It's woe to the person, to the people. I was actually using the word person in a plural sense, to the person, to the people, who don't recognize Hashem's message. When Hashem speaks, everybody hears. When I speak, okay, some people hear, some people don't hear, whatever. When Hashem speaks, everybody hears. What does it say in the Torah? The Torah says, after the Jewish people left Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law wanted to come and visit him. Why? Because Vayishma Yisro, Kohen Midyan, Eitz kol asher asa elakim l'moshe u'li Yisrael. he heard everything. Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, heard everything that was going on. The whole world heard this phenomenon that Hashem took the Jewish people out of the land of Egypt. The Medrash tells us on the first plague, the plague of the blood, first of the ten, that we call the 10 plagues. The plague was, there was water, a Jew holding water, gave it to an Egyptian. As soon as the Egyptian took the water, it turned into blood. Give it back to the Jew, pick it up, water, blood, water. That was like, I want to, just, you know what the Jew would have said? All right, let me give you the drink. But Hashem was smarter than that too. As soon as he's going to go like this, it was in the cup was water, out comes blood. That's the plague of blood. To the Egyptians, it was blood. To the Jews, it was water. When Hashem does something, Hashem just doesn't, okay, you need some gelt? No problem. Here's a little bit of gelt. I'll throw you a 50. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you. You're God of the universe. It's like 50. How many zeros after the 50? Like put a few extra zeros after the 50. You need a little gesund? You need a little bit of health? Sure, no problem. I'll throw you, comfy pair of shoes. That's it? That's it? I need like my whole health. I need my whole body, everything. I need health. I just a comfy pair of shoes. God, is that the best you can do? No. When Hashem does something, the world reverberates. And that's what happened when the Jewish people left Egypt. So some might think that we commemorate Pesach because the Jewish people left Egypt. Oh, what a beautiful story. The Ten Commandments, right? The Jewish people, they left it. That's not what we're commemorating. Are you sure we're commemorating that also? We are commemorating as well the extravagance that Hashem showed when we left Egypt. We didn't just leave Egypt. As we discussed, somebody asked the question not that long ago, where did the Jews have all the gold and silver from? The Jewish people basically looted Egypt, not by stealing, but by saying, do you mind, we're leaving anyway, can I get some gold? So sure, take it, get out of here, get out of my life, just go take what, take. And the Egyptians gave all their gold and silver and diamonds and precious things, so the Jewish people just get out, and the Jewish people go, okay, we were going to leave anyway, but sure, I'll take it, no problem. And the Jewish people left amid tremendous, tremendous wealth. Hashem doesn't do anything just off the cuff. Hashem doesn't do anything just lightly. So when we have the Seder, as I was telling before, the first thing we do to commemorate Pesach is we make this searching. Now, you want to have an illusion. This is an open meeting tonight. I mean, the truth isn't looking around. There's everyone is part of the program anyway. I don't see any specific guests. But we talk about looking inside of oneself in terms of doing my own inventory on a regular basis. Yeah, so let's see if I'm searching with the... So the tradition, you may have seen this. You may have heard it or whatever. The tradition is the night before the Seder, which will be tomorrow night, that the head of the household goes around. It's a mitzvah. We make a blessing. And we search for chametz around the house. And again, no disrespect to the women who have been sweating over cleaning the house for who knows how long. The man comes along and does his own search. It is a mitzvah for the head of the house to do their own search. And you may have seen that sometimes they come with a kit with a feather inside, and people put out 10 pieces. You know, I don't have time to get into all the details of the customs, but just in a general sense to be able to mention. So really, Pesach is for me to look into myself. Pesach is a holiday of search. The women are searching. The women, where's any chametz? What do I need to throw out? What do I get rid of? I don't want to have chametz in my possession for the next 7 days, 8 days, if, you know, chutz la'aretz, 7 or 8 days outside the land of Israel. I don't want to have any chametz. Pesach is a holiday of searching. I can't go into the holiday of Pesach if I have chametz. Which is why, on a side note, again, Tracy's been putting up these messages, and those of you who have, thank you, to sell your chametz. It's a good thing, because selling of chametz is a part of me getting rid of, doing my search, my moral inventory. Even though it seems like it's a physical inventory, it is still an inventory, and then I'm getting rid of inventory. Sometimes in a company, when a person has inventory, there's inventory that's just not doing well. It's holding me down. I have to get rid of the inventory that's just holding me back. And Hashem says for 8 days, chametz will hold you back. Chametz will pull a person back from moving forward in life. Take 8 days, get rid of it. So that's the beginning of Pesach. That's our entry into Pesach. Pesach isn't just about the Seder, although for many it is, and I respect those of you who grew up in that mode and didn't know some of the other things, but that's why we have the Chai Center. That's why I'm teaching you about what Pesach is really all about. Pesach is not just about the Seder at 6 in the evening. It is not. Let's move on. We come to the Seder. There are so many things, and it says, you know, first of all, I'd like to say, those of you who are coming to my home for the Seder, yay! I'm so happy. Can't wait to see you guys. But a couple of things. Warning. Disclaimer. Get a good rest on Shabbos afternoon. Get a good rest. Because I don't see our Seder on Saturday night starting looking like before. Oh. It's actually not so late. 9:14 is what we'll light candles. Not before 9:45. We'll probably make Kiddush somewhere around 9:45. That's PM. 9:45, 10 o'clock. Come with your questions. Come rested. I was going to say come hungry. But the truth is, we won't be feeding you much, you know, not in the usual Kunrech way until about 11:30 p.m. We'll probably get to the meal somewhere at around chicken soup, midnight. Because there's lots to do on Pesach. There's lots to talk about on Pesach. Pesach is not just about the Seder, meaning we ate, it's our regular Friday night dinner at 6 p.m., but we had matzah instead of challah. But everything else is normal. Nothing is normal on Pesach. Nothing is normal. Pesach, in a way, is the most unusual holiday. And maybe it's why Pesach has this aura about it that so many people from the religious, from the not religious, every Jew knows about Pesach. Sukkot, I don't know. The cheesecake holiday, Shavuos, mostly not. But Passover, everybody knows Passover. The non-Jews know about that. The non-Jews know about that because they got to, you know, their stores have to be full. They know. I went today, you know, there's a car cleaning place on Bathurst Street by the 7-Eleven here. And right next to the 7-Eleven, there's like a car wash. And there's also a thing where you can get a vacuum. And there's no question that the owner of the place knows that right around Passover, whenever it is, that all of a sudden business goes like crazy because every Jew's got to take his, and you see people out there and the vans that are out there, everyone's taking out their seats and taking out their, it's like it's mayhem what goes on here. Brian, I don't know if you had an opportunity to look out your window, if you can see the stores and see what's going on. The traffic at the corner of Bathurst and Caribou between the bookstore and the Savers and then the kosher gear, it's like crazy. It's not normal. My friends, it's not meant to be normal. It's meant to be different. You'll come over, you'll see counters covered. There's a cute picture of a person who put silver foil over his whole car. I've sent it out in my email in the past. It's a really, really cute picture. Like his sink, like his whole house is just like one big roll of silver foil. It's like really cute. It's like it's too bright. Everything's shining off the silver foil. It's not normal. But Pesach is not supposed to be normal. Anyone who tries to normalize Pesach is just missing. Just missing out on Pesach. Pesach Hashem gives us the opportunity to be above normal. So that after Pesach, I can go back to normal. My house now, with my kids being home, is not normal. I tell you that. Can I know her? My house is not, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Years in the last couple of years because of COVID, obviously things were different and people had to do things different, but it was also not normal. It was not normal because it was too quiet, not normal. It was not normal because many people had gotten used to the fact of going to a hotel for Pesach, which is a separate thing, right or wrong, ask me another time. But now the hotels were closed because of COVID. All of a sudden they had to make Pesach and they go, these are religious people. I don't know how to make Pesach. I've never made Pesach in the last 10 years because we've been going to a hotel. What do I get matzahs? I get that. Like, how do you make salt water? How do you make chrele? How do you make salt water? Do you know in places they sell salt water? They do. You can actually buy kosher for Passover ready-made salt water. As I achuchim, $25 for about a cup like this. That's a good business. You know, just kidding.
$1.99.
Oh, the prices come down. It must be competition. So, Pesach is not normal. So what do I take out of Pesach? So we mentioned already, it's important to look tomorrow night to take a light, to go around your home, your apartment. And again, no disrespect to the women, that those who have checked and cleaned, we take a light and we search, we go around and we make a meticulous search in case I missed something. A positive commandment. Because I need to look at myself. You think if I found a Cheerio, you know, kids, grandkids coming over, and they go to the, you know, whatever in the vents, and they like to put things all of a sudden in a little matchbox car in the front seat, one of my grandkids stuck in a little Cheerio just a little window and that little bit stuck in it. And I go, wow, I found a Cheerio. It's not about me finding the Cheerio. It's about me saying, I need to look. And again, getting into the light of the candle, there's more on a mystical level, which at one point maybe I would share with you, but I don't have time to get into that now. What does the word Seder mean? The word Seder really means in order. It's organized. There is a specific order of what we need to do. There are four cups that we need to drink. There's matzah that we need to eat. There is bitter herbs that we need to eat. Those are really, and then there's the story. Those are the four, I would say, prime things that we need to do to fulfill our obligation at a Seder, at nighttime, after it's dark. Making kiddush, having four cups, wine, grape juice, whatever a person is allowed to do. Grape juice is perfectly fine. There's a story from Rabbi Tversky, blessed memory. Don't have to get into that now. Grape juice is 100% fine. Light grape juice, whatever. You know, those who have to get low carbs, diabetics, and things like that, you can use they make a light grape juice, which is also fine. You only have to drink a minimal amount. Make sure your kiddush cup, if you're taking notes, is at least 3.9 fluid ounces. Or 86 milliliters. That's the minimum amount. So this cup that I'm having my water from is a 7-ounce cup. So my becher can be half the size. And technically, I only need to drink a little bit more than half. So even those who are diabetic who may have an issue with sugar because grape juice is quite sweet. So you don't have to drink that much. But four of them. Now you can't just go one, two, three, four, I'm done. It's not about being done. And it's not about drinking four in a row either. It's about drinking the cups at the prescribed time as we tell the story. Because there's something that goes on in the world, as we talk about every so often here at the Chai Center, there's stuff that goes on the planet that we just are not privy to. And that's a lot about what I'm going to be getting to with some good stories. Everybody loves a good story. I've got a good few vignettes for tonight. So there's a lot that goes on. Because like I told you, Pesach is not normal. If we want some things to happen to us, if we want to take away something from Pesach that is not normal, then we have to act in a way that is not normal. You know what I mean? I don't mean like acting like we're totally meshuggah, like we're not normal. I mean in a way that represents things are just not the same. If it's the Seder and then the next morning I'm eating bagels and cream cheese, it's normal. So I had a Seder. It's a Friday night meal anyway this year. It can't be normal if you want to take something away from Pesach. My friends, you know me. Everybody here knows me. I'm a straight shooter. I tell it like it is. I'm going to say something. Because I tell it like it is. This past year, Rosh Hashanah, there were a number of people that called me and said, I said, come to services, high holidays, it's the high holidays. And they said, we can't because of this, because of that, various things. I said, it's the high holidays. I said, I know I have work. Maybe I can come later. Maybe I can come for a little bit. I said, you have to hear the shofar. I don't know if I'll get a chance to. and I looked the people, because it was more than one, and I looked them straight in the face, and I said, the High Holidays is your life. You're a Jew, and this is something that we do. If you want your life to change, change your life. Don't just go to work and say, oh, but then when things don't work out, oh, Hashem, where are you? Like, where is Hashem? Hashem gave us instructions. We need to listen to the instructions. Hashem gave us a Pesach. And like I'm trying to impress upon you, Pesach is not normal. And we can't be, that maybe should have been the title of my thing tonight, but I called it something else because of other stories that I have coming up. Pesach is not normal. And if we go about our Pesach with just a little minor variance, I had some, I chewed on some matzah. Okay, the rabbi said, wait until after 9 o'clock or 9:15, I think is probably enough. Let me take a look here and I'll tell you exactly. After 9 o'clock. And I had some matzah after 9 o'clock because the rabbi said you have to have matzah after 9 o'clock. Okay, fine. And that's the whole thing I did different. Pesach is for naught. You've wasted an opportunity. And my responsibility here at the Chai Center is to try and get everyone to maximize opportunities available. That's what we do here at the Chai Center. We talk about the opportunities, what we can gain, and where we grow. And when we maximize our opportunities, things happen in our lives that we go, wow. So I'd like to tell you about some of these situations. So first of all, you should know. That one of the things that we do, the theme of Pesach, of the Seder, of the men reclining on the left, women don't have to recline. And really only the head of the Seder would need to recline. So when you come to my home for the Seder, those of you who are coming, do not have to recline. Because there's usually isn't enough room, although this year there will be enough room. But either if you really want to recline, you can, but only the head of the Seder. But anyway, we do that. And like I mentioned, the four cups and the eating of the matzah and the eating of the bitter herbs, the maror, and the telling of the story. The theme of everything what we do is a praise to Hashem, praising God. We say the Hallel prayer. It's a praise of Hashem. One of the great rabbis, the B'nai Yisachar, writes that when a person prays, one's deeds are examined to see whether I'm a worthy enough person that my prayer should ascend into the heavens. Maybe I'm not such a worthy person. Maybe my prayers will get held up at the border. You know, as they say, you know, you get held up at the border before, and held up at the border in heaven, because maybe I just, you know, I'm not such a worthy person that my prayers should go. It has to be examined. Let me see what kind of a person is actually saying the prayers. But when a person praises Hashem, praises can't be stopped. So on Pesach, we take the opportunity to praise Hashem more than we pray. It's not about the prayer. Prayer is very short. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is about prayer. That's why we have to uplift ourselves during that time period so that our prayers are more readily assured to go through. We fast or whatever it is that we blow. The shofar, that's what propels our prayer through. We don't have any of that on Pesach. Pesach, it's very short. Pesach, the Haggadah, the story is all about praising Hashem. Praising God. Because with praise, everything just goes through. So if some of the things that we talk about on Pesach, is that we need to focus on the good. How do we praise Hashem? For the most part, most people don't understand the Haggadah. So yeah, maybe you get a Haggadah in English. Those of you who are coming to my home, yay! We will go through it in depth. We don't schlep. We don't drag things out. It just takes a while because it takes a while. By the time you leave, you know what's going on. You'll go, this was a Seder. So to praise Hashem, we have to recognize the goodness of everything that we have in life. Instead of, obviously, we've talked about this in the past, instead of focusing on our difficulties, we have to look at the things that we have, the things that are good that Hashem has given us. Of course, it's easier said than done. Let me tell you a story. There was a great rabbi in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim, who wanted to help parents recognize the goodness in their lives. So when someone came to him and said, I got a mazel tov, we just had a baby, he would say, that's wonderful. How many fingers? How many toes? How many fingers does the baby have? And the person would look puzzled. I just told you I had a mazel tov. 10 fingers, bro. And he would say, 10 fingers, 10 toes, mazel tov. Baruch Hashem. What, do you think everyone has 10 fingers and 10 toes? Not everyone does. And he would say it that way to remind them how thankful we have to be. What, do you think it's just so normal that a baby is born? Baruch Hashem, I have my few-month-old granddaughter here. Just take the opportunity. Look at a little baby. It may have been a long time since some of you have had the opportunity to hold this tiny, precious little baby. And look how detailed every little iota of this, the fingernail of a tiny little baby. The lips, the soft skin. And every, look, you know, we expand, right? We grow up and there's more. And everything that we have is now contracted. Small little heart, small little this, small little that, small little da-da-da. Trivia. The only thing that doesn't grow is, the eyes grow too. I think the eyes grow as well. Zero, the eyes don't grow. Eyes don't grow. Carol's saying the eyes don't grow. Maybe it was the eyes. The wonders that Hashem creates, that sometimes we lack the recognition. And, you know, usually the first thing is baby is born. They give the baby to the mother. 3 seconds later, they take the baby away. They put it on the table. They got to weigh it. They got to do this. They got to do it. And then can you imagine the first time parents like, hey, why'd you take the baby away from my wife? I want to. No, we have to examine. Is there something wrong? No, we have to do our examination. And then the doctor hands back or the nurse hands back the baby to the parents. Here's your child back. Baruch Hashem. Great rabbi, Reb Shlomo Brevda, Rabbi Biederman tells the story. Tells the following stories, great stories. He was walking down the stairway from his second floor apartment, and he slipped. And as he slipped, he was able to grab onto the railway. And it was a long stairwell. And he could have really hurt himself had he not been able to grab on. And he said he considered it a miracle because he was sure that he would never be the same person had he fallen down the full flight of stairs, not being able to grab on. So grabbing on spared him so much. To him, that was a huge miracle. How many times do we give a little slip? And I just caught myself and go, oh, I caught myself. And I'll go, thank you, Hashem. That could have been devastating without recognizing. That could have been devastating. The Chazon Ish says, when we say in the prayers, in the Maidim, on a daily basis, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, for the miracles, we praise Hashem for the miracles that happen to us all the time. I know people sometimes call, and they get calls all the time, Rabbi, this is not going well. Rabbi, this is not going well. This happened to me, and this happened to me. And this, the person is sick and this, but all these things. And yeah, and we focus sometimes on those things, but we also need to remember to focus on all the beautiful things that we do have. It's normal to focus on our difficulties. It is not normal to focus on our goodness. And that's what I'm saying. Pesach is not normal. So listen to this unbelievable story. Rabbi Biederman tells a story of close to 90-year-old person who was hospitalized and placed on a respirator. I have no idea if it's COVID or not, it doesn't matter. 2 weeks later, when he recovered, so I guess he must have been in a coma or something like that, he recovered, and he was leaving the hospital, and as he's, you know, before he leaves the hospital, you got to pay the bill. So he comes to the bill, and the bill, he says, sir, you have to pay $10,000. $10,000? Like for what? He says, you know, at one point you were very critical, and we had to put you on a respirator and a breathing machine. And this breathing machine, you know, was breathing for you, helped you breathe. And we were on it for whatever number of days, and the accumulation, and it's $10,000 for the. And he began to cry. So they said, oh, they felt bad. This elderly, you know, close to, you know, 80, high 80s person, and is crying. And he said, oh, you know what? If you can't afford, you know, we'll help you with the. So, and when they said that, he cried even more. So they said, so he said, what? So finally he calmed down, and he said, and they said, we'll charge you, you know, we'll charge you half. But I wasn't crying over the cost. I can afford to pay you $10,000. He says, but I listened to this, but I just realized how thankful I need to be for Hashem. Because for 2 weeks, or the week that I was on the respirator, I have to pay $10,000. What about for all the years of my life that Hashem is allowing me to breathe? How much do I need to pay Hashem for all that time for helping me breathe? How much do I owe Hashem? How much do I owe God for allowing me to breathe the rest of my life? 2 weeks, $10,000. What's the rest of my life worth? Unbelievable. Pesach is not normal. One of the great speakers lives among us. His name is Rabbi Y.Y. Rubinstein. You may have heard of him. And he tells the following story. He has a son. One of his kids was a photographer, and he would go around taking pictures. That was his job. He'd take wedding pictures, bar mitzvah pictures. And when he was in his teens, he was having trouble with his eyesight, and he went from specialist to specialist. And at one point, a specialist, one of the top specialists, diagnosed him with whatever it was, and he said, "I'm sorry to tell you, young man, but within 10 years, you have a degenerative disease, a retinal disease, and you're going to go blind." And he was beside himself. So, but he worked, and Rabbi Rubinstein was also very big and talks a lot about Amuna, having belief in Hashem. And his son was like, "Dad, don't worry about it. We'll get through it. And maybe the doctors are wrong, whatever." Anyway, shortly after the diagnosis, this young man, his son, went to Manchester, England to photograph a wedding. And he was scheduled to fly back to Israel with a stopover in Frankfurt, but the flight was canceled last minute, and the only flight he can find to get back to Israel was a cheap European airline called Jet2 or something like that. And it would be an uncomfortable experience. It wasn't as nice as the flight he was going to initially take. Okay, but he wanted to get back home. So he's sitting on this flight, this Jet2 flight back to Israel, and he strikes up a conversation with the person sitting next to him in the seat. When he mentioned that he was born in Gateshead, the other person said, oh, I know Gateshead very well. I studied medicine at the University of Newcastle, and I used to learn every day with a rabbi from Gateshead. Have you ever heard of him? His name was Rabbi Y.Y. Rubinstein. And the kid says, that's my father. Oh, wow. It's been 36 years since I've learned with him. Wow, and the chance of, you know, meeting your the son sitting right next to you. Anyway, and this person was not very observant. Anyway, schmoozing, University of Medicine, what do you do? He says, I'm an eye specialist. Oh. So I said, this teenager takes the opportunity. He says, I'll tell him about what I have. I just want to tell you, I was just recently diagnosed with blah, 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 blah. And they said, there's no known cure. I'll be blind probably within 10 years. And he looks at this young man and he smiles and he says, they are wrong. I am the world's only specialist in this particular disease. And I have developed a new something, whatever it is, and that I can do the surgery. And I, because I learned with your father 36 years earlier, or your father learned with me, I personally will do the surgery on you. So can you imagine a missed flight, which usually when people, it wasn't a missed flight, get their flight canceled last minute, you know, swears, how can you, and the complaining and shouting. And for him, it was the biggest blessing. Hashem had so much going on to put these two people right next to each other on the same flight, next to each other on the same row. Just for that. Pesach is not normal. Ephraim Waxman, also great speaker. Got to get him on one day. A little too much. He tells the following story. So many years ago, there was an 18-year-old and some friends of his, they went to visit a museum in Israel. When he went to purchase the entry ticket, he had a youthful look. This 18-year-old had a youthful look, I guess, you know, like the baby face-ish at 18. And the tickets were less expensive from under 18. Once you're 18, you pay the adult price. And so they told him, look, when you go to the thing to buy tickets, just tell him you look like younger anyway. Just tell him you're 17. You can pass for 15, you know, you're small and you have a baby face. No one will question you. Anyways, he says, no. Goes up to the window, says, hi. I'd like to buy an adult ticket, please. So the guy looks at him and says, no. Why are you buying an adult ticket? He says, I'm 18. You're not 18. Come on. You're not 18. He says, I'm 18. I'm telling you, I'm 18. So he says, you look younger than that. Here, I can give you one at less because you look younger anyway. Don't worry about it. I'll help you out. So he says, no, I'm 18. And I want to pay the full price. And that's what he did. When he handed the ticket to the guard, he buys his ticket. He hands the ticket to the guard, full fare adult ticket to the guard. The guard looks at him and he says, thank you very much. I just won 100 shekel. So the kid said, really? What's that? Please explain. He says, when you were coming, we saw you guys coming into the museum. My friends and I, the guards, we were talking between ourselves. Yeah, you know, that religious kid, I'm sure he's going to try and pass through as an under 18. You watch. And we bet 100 shekels. I said, nope. He's got some, you know, authenticity behind him. He looks like he's going to tell the truth. If he's 18, he's 18. And I won the bet. I won the bet. So thank you. That's telling the truth. How many people would do that? How many people try to get in? I told the story yesterday, the corona test, right? People, can you just do this for me? Can you just slide into this and that? Now, again, everything in there are times that it is okay. Not getting into that now. That's not what tonight is about. But I said that tonight's talk. What did I say? What did I call it? How old are you?
Not normal.
Oh, and it wasn't because of this story. How old are you? It wasn't because of this story. Because I have another story for you.
Oh.
And with this story, I will end. Like I'm saying, my friends. Am I blurry? Face blurry? No. There's a lot that goes on in the world that we're not privy to. And Hashem runs everything just in the way it needs to be. When the Jewish people left Egypt, everything happened in exactly the way it needed to be. The sea split at exactly the time that it was supposed to. It came back at exactly the time that it was supposed to. Everything, the way Hashem runs the world, is exactly the way it's supposed to. Hashem tells us when to eat the matzah. We eat the matzah after 9 p.m., this year at least, because that's when it's considered halachically dark outside, because that's when it's supposed to. We make a blessing, shehecheyanu, that we thank Hashem for allowing us to be Hecheyanu, from the word chai, alive, the kimanu, and existed, the higiyanu, and made it until lazman hazeh, to this time. Because we need to have an appreciation for Hashem's time. We have an appreciation for our time. Oh, time to wake up. Oh, time to go to sleep. Time for dinner. Time for breakfast. Time for coffee. An appreciation for that. I also have to have an appreciation for Hashem's time. And Hashem tells me when I need to eat. Be'erev, the Torah says explicitly, Be'erev tochlu matzahs. And the evening is when I have to eat matzahs. The Torah tells me, in the night before Pesach, search for your chametz. That's what I need to do. I make a fearless, searching moral inventory. Of my own inventory, not just the chametz. And here's the story. There was a woman who lived past 100 years of age. And when people would ask her, and people usually ask people over 100, says, what's the secret of your longevity? What do you do to stay alive over 100 years old? So she would explain as follows. She says, I lived through the Holocaust. And I saw my children and family murdered before my eyes by the Germans, Yimach Shemam v'Zichro. But I kept a firm belief that everything that Hashem does has a plan. There's a reason for everything that goes on in this world. And so I didn't ask any questions. You know, up in heaven, she would say, there are answers for everything. Things up in heaven will become clear as day. And some people really, really want answers. So the people who really want answers get called up to heaven maybe a little bit earlier. I'm okay. I don't need the answers. So I'm still, maybe that's why God has left me in this world, because I don't need the answers. Because I don't have any questions. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, one of the famous grand rabbis, who had his wife and I think his 10 or 11 children murdered in front of his eyes. He was managed to escape through a whole story for another time. He said, after losing 11 children in the Holocaust, he said, I'd rather be down here with the questions than up there with the answers. A lesson for from over a hundred-year-old lady. I'd rather be down here with the questions than up there with the answers. Mekenasach Fregen. There's a lot that we can ask. There's a lot that is not clear to us. But my friends, Pesach is not normal. But if we really look to try and keep Pesach in the best way that we can, things that are not normal will happen to us. But we need to take the opportunity to work to be on that level, on that plane, of also spending 8 days that are not normal. We sell our chametz. I clean my house. I told you, I said it many times, I will say it again. It is contradictory to have a Seder when you still have chametz in your house. Sell your chametz. 1 week without any leavened products will survive on kosher for Passover products. You'll make it. I guarantee you. Matzah brei is not so bad. All right, Lori doesn't like it. Okay, but the Pesach, a bissel grievene, you know, whatever, a little schmaltz, whatever is all, you know, whatever is up. We survived for 3,300 years with Pesach. We'll survive, continue to survive. My friends, in closing, Pesach gives us this opportunity so that I can recognize how old am I really? How old do I want to be? Do I want to be young and have questions and just continue to look and search and search? Or do I want to be, I'll wait for the answers. I can wait for the answers. The answers are there. The answers to all our questions are there and they're available after we pass away and go to Shemayim, where everything is clear in a way that our souls can see, untainted by our physical body. Here we need to learn to believe that Hashem does everything in exactly the way it's supposed to be. Yes, the only thing that we need to do, I can't control the weather. I can't control if it's a leap year or not a leap year. I can't control so much the price of matzah. I wish I could. I can't control the price of matzah or some of the other things. But I can control my relationship with Hashem. That's the one thing I need to do, is learn to control my relationship with Hashem. And I can do that by taking 8 days and saying, Pesach is not normal. And with that, I can return to an age in my life that is a youthful age, of when maybe a time in my life that I also didn't live, that was, but I didn't know any better, so normal. And Hashem takes care of me. And Hashem will take care of us. Like we are little, like parents take care of little children, Hashem will take care of us, will baby us, will cradle us. Hashem wants us. Hashem wants all this extra. Hashem wants us to recognize that Pesach is not normal. And if I act in a way that's not normal for Hashem, Hashem will say, I will cradle you. I will baby, I will take care of you. I will support you. Our responsibility to Hashem will reflect Hashem's responsibility back to us. I hope that these stories and the lessons that we learned tonight, understanding that Pesach is not normal, that how old I am really reflects on how much am I bothered by God. I want the answers. I'll be okay. Let me live bishelva, with serenity, with peace and happiness. The answers will come. I'm not in a hurry for the answers. And if we can learn to make Pesach a day that is just not normal, Hashem should bless us all, that we should have be able to continue and propel ourselves through these next months until we get to the high holidays of the next year. And I'm sure that if we live a life on Pesach that is not normal, we do for Hashem, we get rid of our chametz. We search for our chametz. We get rid of our chametz. And we live a life that is not normal, our lives will be extra blessed in a way that is not normal. That's Hashem's guarantee to us. We just need to do for Hashem. I think many of you here have experienced growth in your life that maybe some would say is not normal. Never did I think I would be where I am. And if you're not yet at that point, maybe now is the opportunity where you can say, you know what, I'm going to try this year Pesach to be not normal, and I want to see how my life can be different and in a way that I didn't think would ever be either. Hashem should help as we continue to learn together and to grow together, that the blessings should be bountiful and Hashem should cradle us and Hashem will support us. We just need to do what we need to do, and God willing, we will see the redemption, the final geula, b'mehera b'yameinu, speedily in our days. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. The drasha is over, and if anybody, I'll stick around for a couple of minutes in case anyone has any comments or remarks. Thank you.